And that's part of my tagline too, which is feel the wave.
Feel the wave. Feel I love wave. That.
Yeah. So you have to go with the flow. There's ebbs and flows in life. And if you stay stagnant, like you're never gonna move in life. And I feel like goal or something that I always try to think about is embracing the challenge. And if you don't have challenges in life, you're not gonna grow. Right. And stepping out of your comfort zone, which like being on this podcast is stepping out of my comfort zone. But if you don't do things like that, you're never gonna grow. You're never gonna know what you can accomplish. So feel me when I bring it, sing it loud. I'm
from the loop and I'm proud. Run a mile for the cause. I'm right. Hi guys, it's your girl Nahama, your favorite Jew from the Loo. Welcome back to my podcast. And today, there's so many special things about today. But first and foremost, we have Sarah from Youanology. So welcome.
Thank you.
And not only do we have you as a guest, and we're so honored to hear your story, but also we're actually in your store. We're at Youanology.
Yes. I'm excited about that.
I love it. And like if anyone wants to look at Sarah as part of the camera, you'll see that we actually have the store behind us. We have her sign, all the colors. It's just beautiful. The store is just such a peaceful place.
Thank you. That was my goal.
And it smells so good. You guys can't smell it. I'm sorry. It smells so good in here.
Thank you. That also was my goal. I wanted it to be an experience when you walked in the store and you instantly smell and you hear. I have the waterfall going and I wanted like all of your senses to be going. Yeah. All at the same time when you walked in. So the very back of the store is the wave of what I created for the brand. And I want it all to be visually beautiful too. I always love to hear when people walk in that they're like, oh my God, it smells so good. Or it's so peaceful, because that really was my.
Yeah. And you did it in such a beautiful way too. Because my first experience, well, meeting you and the store at the same time was we know each other through Babes in Business. And the first event that I ever attended was the January event here at Youanology.
Uh-huh.
And normally when you go to a networking event, especially if you don't know anybody, walking in can be a little nerve-wracking. Yeah. It helped that I was sponsoring the coffee for Le Cafe. So I had that opportunity to be in that hostess mode. So I was a little bit more comfortable. But this space just made me be like...
I appreciate that, because that was also my first Babes in Business like coffee or
was
event.
It really?
Yeah, that was my first event I had gone to also. Oh. And so I was nervous too, because I'm showcasing not only my store, but I'm also meeting a lot of people, and I'm normally pretty nervous in social situations because it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming for a lot of people. Some people are extroverts, other people are introverts, and I'm a total introvert. At least later in my life, as I've gotten older and busy, I just prefer being at home and with my family. And so it's hard for me to get out a lot and just talk about my store and about my life. So that was, yeah. But meeting you though, you are so calm, and it was very easy to talk to you.
Oh, so. I appreciate that. Yeah. And I'm really excited to hear that, because I've gotten that a lot recently, and it means a lot to me, because there's this poem, and I am so bad at like quoting people's names and quotes and all that, but it talks about how when you give yourself permission to shine, then unconsciously you give others permission to shine as well. And I think so many of us feel so much anxiety about how we're being perceived and who we should be and how we should show up in the world. But when you just kind of lean back and lean into who you are, you create this safe space because people sense that you're comfortable, and then they get comfortable.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. You definitely make people feel comfortable.
I'm living up to my namesake. Because Nahama does mean comfort. So it fits.
Yeah. Definitely fits.
But going back to the Babes in Business, that event was the most powerful event ever. You know, I had seen them in my peripheral vision, but I never was an entrepreneur before. I was in the corporate world, right? So I had so much respect for women in the workplace and the entrepreneurial workplace, right? Who are making a name for themselves and going out there. But I was like, that's not me. I'm not doing anything special. I can't be a part of that group. So the fact that I'm finally in a place where I do belong there and I totally relate to the women, no matter what their industry is so profound.
Yeah, I agree. I liked even though it was at the store, I liked the idea of the coffee where it was laid back and people could be genuinely who they are.
Yeah.
And talk about, you know, their business and then and then individually when it was time to network, it was really nice to hear like struggles and success stories. And,
yes.
And as a new business owner, I mean, I was just finishing up my first year. So thank you. Last week was our 1 year anniversary of the store being open. And to know that people struggled when they first started to, because it is overwhelming and it's challenging to know that you can like just keep up, like just having support of other women, like you're doing it, you can do it.
Yeah.
We're doing it too.
People will find you, you know, and that's such a great feeling. I really do believe that as women, inherently, initially, we're pretty competitive with each other. But I think that group is such a great example of how when we get over the competition and we learn to collaborate, it's so powerful.
Right. I made so many connections in
that
first coffee and meeting people and then having events to help support them also. I mean, that was a goal of my opening the store also, was to collaborate and be a part of the community and bring,
wellness.
Yeah, wellness, but also peace of mind and other experiences to the community that might not have a chance to go someplace else or they don't know where to look. Well, they can look here and find lots of different options.
Yeah, and that's what I thought was so cool about your store too, because I really had never heard of it beforehand. And walking in here and seeing all the beautiful products, like it's high-end luxury, like cannabis and smoking products for the most part. Plus, you also have some jewelry, candles, different like coffee. Like, it's really, really a unique space. And I was like, I just thought you were so cool too, because this is so out of the box. And as someone who's working towards having like a brick and mortar, I have so much respect for the fact that you did the thing. And the fact that you just celebrated 1 year is even like more of an accomplishment.
It has been a year too.
Yeah.
I mean, it went from like most entrepreneurs, you have an idea, you have this like vision of what you can create and you do all of this research. It's not like, I think there are probably some people that just jump into it and they're like going to wing it.
Right.
But then there's other people, and it depends on your personality, you know, how much research, how much time you put into what you want to build and what your idea is and what your vision is. And so that for me was several years in the making. And so to find a place to have this vision, be like, oh my God, I pictured this and it's here. But I did want a unique place there wasn't anything like that here in St. Louis. And there are a few places around the country, mostly in New York. There's one place that's similar. But my goal was to focus on beautiful smoking accessories, but also female owned, minority owned, and diverse backgrounds of these other business owners and creators that I wanted to showcase at the store. So that was my first goal, was looking at what are some other female owned companies that have beautiful accessories. Then I did all of that research. And then it was like, okay, I want to bring other health and wellness items in the store. And so I looked at things that I would want to buy and what I would want to see. So yenology is a made up word, and yen means in Eastern cultures a strong desire, and ology is the study of. And for me, a strong desire is for peace and relaxation. And so I'm always studying of, do I get there? And what brings me peace and what brings me relaxation and peace of mind? And that's when everything that I have here is stuff that makes me happy. And I hope it brings other people peace too.
And your story makes so much sense, because like the thoughtfulness and the attention to detail of this store really shines through. Not to mention there's like this like luxury elegant feel as well, which I feel like is a really unique thing to bring into the mindful space, right? Because a lot of times those spaces could feel a little modgepodgey, you know? And we love them for it. But like as someone who really appreciates the finer things in life, this store does a really good job of blending all of that together. And I love it.
Thank you. Really, not only did I want beautiful items, but I also wanted conversation starters. And I wanted women especially to feel like they could come into the store, and if they were interested in hemp products or they had questions about how to use cannabis or how to use any smoking accessory or maybe they've never used essential oils before and they're nervous to ask in different environments. I wanted it to be an environment that they could come in and feel like they weren't judged and that they could ask anything. And no question is stupid because we're all learning.
Right.
And I'm continually learning too. That every day when someone comes in and they ask a question, that gives me so much pride. Like I help them or I, you know, they've helped me with their stories too. So I feel like we're giving back to each other.
It's a safe space.
That's what I hope to bring.
I think the events that you've hosted and are continuing to host, they're so eclectic, but all kind of blend under that total mentality of creating that safe space and mindfulness as well. Because when people come to those events, for example, the one that we just did with 3 Degrees, where they did the ice plunge here, and there was a breathwork session and the sauna. That was an experience where you're really going out of your comfort zone. So already the types of people who are going to be attracted to these events are looking to kind of maybe push their limits a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Which is super exciting.
Yeah. I loved that event here because it did encompass so many things. You are being super vulnerable by laying on the floor and breathing and exposing yourself through your breath work. And then you go into a huge cold plunge and that's scary. Those types of events I really, really enjoy. We're having this week, I'm having a cacao ceremony, which is another very vulnerable, I think, like depending on your experience and what you're going through, things might start coming up that you're not expecting. So that, and the people that I work with and collaborate with, I also want to collaborate with people that are going to make other people feel comfortable as well.
Yeah. I'm really excited. There's an event. Hopefully there's enough spaces because I procrastinated in signing up. But there's the 28th, there's that Zodiac.
Yes, the astrology.
Star chart. Yes.
Yes.
I'm very into that. Mm-hmm. I only know surface level. But I'm not a big believer in horoscopes, but I am a big believer in understanding like your star chart. And I think it really does affect the relationships you have with others. Just for example, I'm an Aries. My business partner is a Virgo. So talking about how people start businesses, everyone has their own style.
Right.
If he was not in my life, I would have been the, oh, let's just go for it and figure it out along the way. Mm-hmm. But I want to create a space like this where you see the thoughtfulness. There's the attention to detail. Of course, you're always growing and like assessing. You can only know when you're actually doing it.
Right. Exactly.
But people walk in day one, they can already tell there's something special, right?
Right.
And so I think my business partner, his grounded like Virgo energy and his meticulous thoughtfulness has kind of taken my passion and grounded it and helped us like reverse engineer so that we can take those thoughtful steps.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm a Leo and super fiery. And most of the time it comes off to some people as being like, oh, I'm relaxed and laid back. But internally and in my like desire for to succeed, that's when the Leo really comes out. And my husband is a Libra. And so he's very like, he's a balance. Yeah. He balances me out a lot and I can bounce ideas off of him. And it's like, if I don't know what to do, or if I get really, really worked up, and which happens a lot, he's like, okay, bring it down a notch. Like, let's talk this through. Because when it comes to my family, I'm super protective of them. And with this, this is my baby also. So I can get really worked up when it comes to things. And I'm learning to not react as quickly. And I need to. And that's another reason why I started the stores, because I need all of these things too in my life. I need mindfulness. I need yoga. I need the plunge. I need breath work. Like all of those things I need in my life too. And so I want to give that to other people.
I love it. I think it comes down to that. There's a certain point, and I think we have that. I think every entrepreneur has the same energy where it's like, there's a certain point where being a consumer isn't enough. You need to have your hand in it. You need to be a creator yourself. And it's also this feeling of service where it's like, I'm so excited about everything that I've learned. Let me spread the love and the joy.
Yeah. I was thinking back of what were some of my motivations or what inspired me to do things in life or how did I get where I am? And I remember my grandfather would always say knowledge is power. And I feel like I'm always on a quest for more knowledge. And I know that I don't know everything. I know, like, my background is in law, and I think that that helps me with, like, starting up the business and being able to read contracts and being able to negotiate. But I also know that different aspects of, like, the contract, I'm going to reach out to my friends who are attorneys that practice contract law and bounce ideas off them. If there's marketing questions that I have or something, like, I know I can't do it all. And I want to try to do as much as I can, but there are other people who are great at what they do. And I want to work with them. And I know that I don't know everything.
And that's why you're going to be so successful. Because you can't have an ego in this world and be successful, whether it's relationships or business or whatever. You know, a lot, I heard this recently. David Guillaume is the teacher that I learned Kabbalah through. But he also has a very successful business, which is he and his ex-wife did Mary Ruth's liquid multivitamin, right? And hearing his story about his success and blending spirituality with business is so aligned with him. And he talks a lot about, like, founders and how, as founders, the most important thing you can do is work on your consciousness and not have an ego, learning to delegate. And it is so easy because it's your baby to be like, oh, well, no one could possibly do this better than me.
So hard, yes.
But you have to trust that there will be people who are going to be smarter. They're going to be smarter and better than you.
Yes, yeah.
And you want those people around, right? Because mm-hmm. there's a certain point, like, as a founder, you know, for me, I think it's like this balance that I always go through where I'm like, on one hand, wanting to hold on to everything. But then also, I think one of the reasons why I think I'll be a really good founder is because I'm inherently lazy. So I like to delegate. Like, I think maybe lazy is probably a bad word to use.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just more sensitive about my energy and, like,
yeah.
I just can't be pulled in everything anymore.
You're really in tune with yourself.
Let's go with that.
Yeah.
So
you're
much
not
better.
Lazy. You just know what you can handle and what, like, you don't get overwhelmed or you try not to, and you know how to delegate that. I'm not good at that. I can say, like, that in my life has never been something that I have been good at doing. I like to have control in every aspect of my life. I like to have control, but it is, I know that it's healthier and it's better for other people too. When you're working, say, like, working on a gala or something, I can't do it all alone. Like, I need to have help, and it is going to be a better event. It's going to be a better experience. If, I mean, this more stressed out I am, people can feel that energy.
100%.
And it's not healthy.
For
and,
you or for anyone else.
Right.
Yeah.
But it is, for me, that is constant work. That's something I always have to work on. Even in my household, like, I like to have control over everything in the household, but that doesn't help everyone. It doesn't help them grow.
No.
It doesn't.
People don't respond well to being
controlled.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We all want that freedom. And I think that comes back down to, like, this concept of surrendering. It doesn't mean you're not doing anything. It just means that you are doing as best as you can. But then at a certain point, you're like, I trust. I trust that if it's meant to be, I trust that the creator will make it become, like, a reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of my tagline too, which is feel the wave.
Feel the wave. I love that.
Yeah. So you have to go with the flow. There's ebbs and flows in life. And if you stay stagnant, like, you're never gonna move in life. And I feel like goal or something that I always try to think about is embracing the challenge. And if you don't have challenges in life, you're not gonna grow. And stepping out of your comfort zone, which, like, being on this podcast is stepping out of my comfort zone. But if you don't do things like that, you're never gonna grow. You're never gonna know what you can accomplish. And I think of myself as not a risk taker. But when I think about my life, I am constantly taking risks, but it doesn't feel like a real risk. It feels like an opportunity to me instead of a risk. And I get in change. I'm not great with change, but I also know that I grow as a person if I embrace the change, if I feel the wave, if I just see what life brings.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have a vision of what your life is, but there's always paths that you can take in life, and one is going to lead you one way, and it might be a dead end, and it might not work out, but you learned something as you got there.
Right.
Like, this did not work. Okay, next time I'm going to choose a different path.
Yeah.
So Yeah. And I think I know that there are a lot of people that ask, like, was there a fork in the road, or was there something that you did? My mom asked me that recently. Is there something in your life that happened that she knows, like she knows the exact like road that she took. And I told her, I feel like I've constantly been given different paths in my life, and I chose them and lived with either the consequences or it's turned out great.
Yeah.
But it is, I mean, change is hard, and taking risks and / opportunities, it's hard, but you can't grow if you don't do that.
I agree with that. I'm aligned with that so much. There was a quote that I just found today. I think it totally fits this. It's also part of that change is starting over to a certain extent, right? Which is scary because you don't have the confidence or the familiarity of the people, the environments, right? But starting over, it's not starting over from nothing. You are building on past experiences. It's all stepping stones, which I think is a perfect segue, because a big part of this podcast is that my whole mission behind this is that we all have stories, and there's so much power in owning your story, but there's also so much power in sharing your story and being brave enough to do so, because not everybody is. So already, like, the fact that you showed up, you're here at the mic, huge kudos to you. Snaps for you, for sure. But like, I think so many of us feel alone, especially when we're going through challenges where, but let's be real, there's nothing new under the sun. So maybe your experience is unique to you, but there's some element of your story that will resonate with people and empower them. And so I would love to start from childhood, because, you know, that's where it all begins, right? And so you were telling me when we had our coffee to kind of pregame this about how you studied like Chinese when you were like in middle school, which is so unique. So let's start there.
I know, it's funny when you said, oh my God, that's so unique. Yeah. It never even crossed my mind. I was like, oh, this was just what was
an offered.
Offered. So yeah. And now I realize like not everyone is offered that when they're in middle school. So I was really lucky. Grew up in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And everyone is shocked at some of like the schools there are great. The schools that I went to were amazing. I went to a magnet school. So you had to apply to get in, and it was very diverse. The school was super diverse, which I loved. And I have to thank my parents for all the opportunities that they gave me. I really feel like, you know, we grew up in a middle-class home, but I always felt like whatever I wanted to do, they found a way for me to do it. Mm-hmm. Or like I had a goal, and if they couldn't provide it for some reason, I found a way to provide myself with that opportunity. So, yeah, in middle school, we had the normal Spanish and French, and then they also offered Japanese and Chinese. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try Chinese. Why not? And in middle school, we just learned songs and basic things, but I loved the language. And it's not just the language, but the culture. And I love learning about different cultures, not just the Chinese culture, but I love people's stories too. And I love to hear their backgrounds, and everyone is unique.
Totally.
And everyone brings something to the table, whether they believe it themselves or not. They have experienced life that they can share in some way. So anyway, middle school, Chinese, and then our high school offered it also. So I continued that, the language, and we were given an opportunity to study abroad in high school. And it was just, I think it was either a 3 or 6 week like study abroad over the summer. And a group of us were able to go to China, and that was eye-opening. I mean, I'd never been to a huge country like that. I think maybe that was my first time out of the country other than Canada.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was culture shock, and I learned so much being over there. And as a high school group, we were, you know, given the best of everything, like the best meals and the best hotels that we stayed in. So we were still very sheltered over there, but seeing like the Great Wall of China and seeing all these beautiful Buddhist temples. And it was amazing. So then when I was deciding to go to college, I originally thought I was going to go to college for pre-med. And And I just wanted to be, I was always motivated and I wanted to get out of Tulsa at the time. I'm like, I've got to get out of here. I cannot, I need to explore the world. Mm-hmm. Like, so I ended up coming to St. Louis.
So adventurous. Yeah.
Going to Wash U. And after my first year, I still continued taking the Chinese language. And after my first year, I realized I don't want to do medicine. I don't. This is not what I'm interested in. So I guess you could say this is one of the paths that I decided to take. I decided to switch my major to East Asian Studies. And that was, that program at WashU was amazing because not only did I learn about the Chinese culture, but I also learned about the Korean culture and Japanese culture and history. And I decided before my junior year that I wanted to study abroad again. So I looked at all different programs that they offered at WashU. And I wasn't completely set on going to China. I wanted to see everything that they offered. But Duke University had a program through the WashU went through Duke University to study abroad in China. Yeah. And that's what I did for the first part of my junior year. So I think it was like 7 months that I spent over there.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And it was a totally different experience because we weren't babied and we weren't sheltered. So we were really immersed in the culture and got to eat like street food and meet. I had a Chinese roommate and all of those things really, it was just an amazing experience that shaped my life. So when I got back from studying abroad in China, I thought, okay, I want to go to law school because I want to do international or immigration law. And so that was my goal.
What was it about international immigration law that you were attracted to?
I wanted to figure out how I could still incorporate my love of the Chinese culture and how I could, there were so many issues with immigration and international law that in China was and still is a powerhouse of a country. And I felt like with knowing the language, I could help with interpreting or having some international relations and I don't know, go into government. I really didn't know. Yeah. Really, it was just like, I want to try to utilize the fact that I know the Chinese language and I know the culture and how can I incorporate and that
make a difference.
Yeah, make a difference. I always want to try to make a difference somehow. So when I ended up going to law school, my second year of law school, the scheduling got messed up and I had one open period of time. And the only thing that fit into that period was domestic violence law. And I've always been a supporter of women's rights and women's health. And I thought, oh God, I don't know. Like, I don't know why I'm taking this class. But as we started going through the different laws and I don't know, I had a pull towards it and I fell in love with what I could do to help women. And so then I completely switched from wanting to go into international immigration law to family law so that I could represent women in situations that they needed some legal help, whether that was domestic or sexual assault. So I became a part of the legal clinic. I went to law school at University of Tulsa and went back to Tulsa because I told my parents, like, you get me for 3 more years and that's it. I'm moving on forever. And they're like, okay, we'll take it.
Did you have any siblings?
I do.
Okay. Are you older or younger?
I'm the oldest.
Okay. So is he still in Tulsa or no?
He is still in Tulsa.
Okay.
He ended up going to college in Tulsa and then he moved to St. Louis for a little bit after college.
Nice.
Yeah. And we got to have like 4 years together here.
That's so nice.
And then he moved back to Tulsa. So all my family is still in Tulsa.
At least you have like a home base, right?
Yeah. I really do feel like St. Louis is home though now. Like this is, my parents come here, my husband's parents come here, and this really feels like.
I love that.
Yeah, my kids were born here. It just, this feels like home now. I mean, when I think of Tulsa, it's like, that's where I grew up. That's where I had a lot of opportunities, but this is.
It is interesting how cities sometimes feels like family because your family's there, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a soul calling that certain cities have for you, which is interesting.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that St. Louis had a calling for me all the time. I feel like I love New York City. I could see myself living there. I could see myself in a bigger city. But there's just something about being in the Midwest, too, that I feel like you have so many opportunities to go anywhere. I mean, you can easily go to the East Coast or West Coast, and it will take 4 hours maybe by flying. And I like being in the center.
Yeah. We are. St. Louis is smack dab in the center.
We are right in the center.
Yeah.
We're growing.
Yeah. Fun fact, I didn't really realize this until I got into it, but with the e-commerce site, shipping, a lot of companies are starting to move toward the Midwest for shipping. Because let's say, for example, if you would think that either being on the West Coast or the East Coast would be more of a hub for that, but there's so many like shipping zones that you have to go through. But if you're in the center, it's actually cheaper to ship things out.
It makes sense.
Yeah. I just never thought of it till I was like in that industry. And I'm like, okay, good thing we're in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Makes it easier.
Yeah, and I know a lot of the companies that I work with, they are looking for like distributors here in the Midwest because they're trying to expand. Some of these like companies that I carry, they're only on like the coast. And they say, no, or I'm not shipping to Missouri yet, but we're trying to find a distributor.
Right.
So, yeah.
That definitely makes it. I interrupted you.
No.
So you were talking about how you shifted gears and you wanted to focus your law career for like women and domestic violence and supporting them in family law.
Right. And that, I mean, that's exactly what I did. Once I set my mind to this is what I want to do, I went full force into like, I'm going to practice family law, move back to St. Louis. I'm going to find a family law firm. I spent my summers here, even when I was in law school, because my husband, we were just dating at the time, but he was working here in St. Louis. And so I found some local domestic violence shelters and organizations, and every summer I'd come back and I'd volunteer with them and just try to learn the landscape here in St. Louis before I moved here.
Yeah.
So my first job was with a family law firm. And then one of the women's organizations that I started volunteering with was Women's Place. And they're no longer Women's Place. They joined with the YWCA. But I was on their board for about 5 years or so. And it was a great experience. And I feel like I made wonderful connections and I helped a lot of women by being part of that organization.
It's super impactful. It couldn't have been easy also as a woman to be there to represent those women. Like, it's so important and it's so necessary. But I can't imagine like how heartbreaking it was to constantly be around survivors, you know?
Yeah, but they are survivors and they all have a story and they, you know, they just have it being there to support them. And maybe not, I mean, there's so many statistics with domestic violence victims and the amount of times that they try to leave and they go back. And there's a lot more involved than just saying like, I know I'm in an abusive relationship, but there are so many factors of why they can't leave. And to be there to support them and not judge them and say like, it's okay, I know it's difficult. Like, let's come up with a plan for when you're able to leave you know, what can we do? Like, can I hold some of your clothes at my office just in case you can get out? You know, there's a lot.
No, I know, because I'm obviously not going to mention names, but one of my friends, unfortunately, was in an abusive marriage. And so, you know, I was young. We were both in our early 20s at the time. So I didn't really understand the nuances of what it meant to like escape that environment. And in my head, I'm like, well, just leave him.
Yeah.
Like, just go. You know, thank God they didn't have any kids. So that helped. But she was married to him for 4 years and she did have to work on an exit plan. Which, you know, now looking back, being older, understanding more of the nuances, unfortunately, like, I get it. But, like, at the time, I just didn't understand what went into that. So, powerful.
Yeah, it's
But I know, like, I want to connect some dots, too, because, like, I know you were also very involved with, like, helping cannabis become more of, like, I don't know how to phrase this. But do you know what I'm trying to say? Like, okay, so cannabis is like such a hot topic. Mm-hmm. I feel like obviously people have been doing it forever, but it's not always been legal. And even medicinally, it's not always been legal.
Cannabis has not always been legal in Missouri was a later state than what medical and went medical first. And in my practice, I, as a family law practitioner, I started to see that, you know, cannabis was affecting custody in some cases. And
that was the connection.
Yeah. And so I wanted to learn more about it. I mean, always on my quest of like knowledge and how is that going to affect life and how is this going to affect my practice? And so I started going to conferences in California and Colorado just to get to wrap my head around what was potentially coming to Missouri. And then meeting other lawyers that everyone started in a different practice before moving into cannabis law. And cannabis law encompasses so much. I mean, not just the laws that come to the state about distribution and manufacturing. There's so much more to it. So that part was interesting too. And I felt like, okay, this is an opportunity for me to learn more and to bring back whatever I can to my practice. And then I had a friend that was really involved in helping in the medical community to also educate patients and like how would she's a physician. And so together we kind of went on this path of learning of how it was going to affect our current profession.
I'm curious, how does that affect family law?
I think now that we're medical and now that it's legal, it's the fear behind it and how it was going to affect families has changed. So I got out of practicing family law right when we went medical because I wanted to apply for licenses. And my friend who's the physician, we together formed a company to try to get manufacturing and dispensary and cultivation licenses in Missouri when we went medical. And we ended up not getting those licenses and we were very close to getting them. But again, there's a reason for everything. Right. And I think for our families and our lives, that was not the path we were supposed to go on.
In retrospect, you can look on it.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it was really disappointing at the time.
It was really disappointing because we put so much time in it.
This sounds so thoughtful too. And like taking the two ends, like the medical and like the legal aspect of it, like sounds like a great recipe for success, you know?
We thought so.
Yeah.
We thought so. But, you know, life doesn't always pan out the way we want it to.
It never does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's fine. We were disappointed, but we learned so much about the industry and what was coming to Missouri. And we met so many people that are in the cannabis industry now in Missouri that are lifelong friends. And I feel like this is the reason it brought me towards
building my store. Right.
Yeah,
at the time, you thought that was the end goal, but really it was a stepping stone to get you to where you were always meant. Right.
And I was part of a founding group of women that started a women's cannabis business association. So we started that in 2020. Mm-hmm. So medical became legal and then they announced all the licenses at the end of 2019. 2020, and then of course the world completely changed at that time too.
Yeah.
So things happen because if we were starting our business at that time and my kids were home and they were all on Zoom, and
it would have been rough.
It would have been really
rough. Also, it was our business. It would have been rough.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everything would have been. I mean, everyone who made it through, all the companies that made it through that time. I mean, I give them serious props.
Because, oh my God! Yeah.
Yeah. And it's been, we're still like dealing with the repercussions.
I feel like it's 2025. It's what, we're 5 years. I guess you could say 4 years if you want to count 2020 to 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Like it really just feels like last year was like the first year that kind of sort of felt normal, right?
Yeah, I agree.
But even so, there's still so much, like you said, repercussions that have come that people are still just trying to.
Yeah. And I think, not just business, but the lives of like your families and your kids. I mean, my kids were young when 2020 happened, and socially they're growing and learning, and totally different than they had to several years ago. And I realized during that time that teaching, I give serious props to teachers because one of my sons told me, you're the worst teacher. Oh. I'm like, I know. I'm not a teacher. I don't want to be a teacher. So,
right. I mean, it's true. It's kind of ironic, even as parents, like, obviously these are your kids, but the reality is you're not supposed to have your kids all day, every day, 24/7. Like it takes a village, you know? And so the fact that the village became pretty much just you and like your husband, it's hard.
It is hard. I mean, there were great things about having to go through that. It was great to slow down and to have our like nucleus family. And for me, I really appreciated what we were given and like the connections and families and friends that you couldn't get together with them for a little while. And I really appreciated all that, but I mean, it was hard.
Yeah.
It was a hard time, but look where we are now.
Yeah, for real. So you guys, the licensing didn't work out. Mm-hmm. And so what happened from there to you ending up with like Yanology?
So one thing that was really important to me during our entire process, and also my best friend, we really wanted to educate people and give them other alternatives. I mean, she is a physician, so she is trained in Western medicine, but we also were like, there are other options. And then with my background in Chinese and being in China and seeing that there are so many other herbal, you know, alternatives and botanical alternatives.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, even growing up, my parents were like, I'm Jewish. And so it was like, if you're sick, you have Jewish penicillin. Like you have your chicken soup and you have like all these other herbal concoctions I really was looking more into how can I bring that still to St. Louis and educate people.
Yeah.
And so I started looking around at, you know, what if I want to smoke cannabis, where would I go to find accessories? Well, there's a lot of head shops and there's other places, but it's overwhelming for a lot of people. And I wanted a place that you could come in and be like, oh my God, I have no idea. Like, I don't know how to use any of this. Like, what do I do? So I started looking all around the country. Are there places that are someplace else that I can look at? And like I said, there was a place in New York that, was in Chelsea Pier, and I went and visited there, and I'm like, okay, like this is the same path that I go on, but it's not what I envision.
Totally.
Yeah. So I'm like, I can do something not better, but different.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so it is happening someplace else. So I spent still like a couple of years doing more research and looking at other products that are out there and putting together a business plan. And then there was like, I don't know if it was really a trade show, but it was a luxury cannabis conference in New York. And I heard about it and I signed myself up and I signed my husband up too. And then I'm like, we're going to this and we're checking it out. And when we went there, I met some amazing women and their products were beautiful. And afterwards, I looked at my husband and I said, are you ready to do this? And he said, I think we're ready. So that was in, okay, so it's 2025, I moved in 2024. That was probably in 2022.
Okay.
That we went.
So obviously this has been a long buildup. There's been a lot of steps and stages to this. And obviously initially this included a totally kind of different vision as well. So about how long would you say from like conception to actualization do you think this actually took?
Probably 2 years.
2 years?
2 years of a lot of research and then figuring out my branding and my messaging. And I had all of that done first before I found the space. And I knew what areas I wanted to look at in the St. Louis area. And I started going to lots of different places and scouting it out. Like, is this the vibe? Is this the area? Can I create what I'm envisioning? And I looked at a different space and this space came open and I thought, oh, no. And I wasn't sure about the location at first. And then I came and looked at it. And this used to be a bank.
Really?
Yeah.
So
it used to be a bank and it was so dark. And they had almost like carpet wallpaper.
Oh, no.
I mean, it was a very cold, dark space, but I like the wood everywhere was a dark brown, but I'm like, I can see this with the windows, everything will be bright. And I just, as soon as I walked in, I'm like, yes, this is it. And then it took about, I think about 7 months for them to build everything out. So
seven
that wasn't,
months is not bad.
Yeah, it wasn't bad at all. Yeah. From the time that they started demolition to it coming together was about 7 months.
You make me so excited. Like, see, this is what I love about the whole baby business as well, is that you have totally newbie entrepreneurs to like 15 plus years of experience, and to hear that, like, even 15 years in, you can be like nervous and afraid, and it was a hard year.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And that's just part of it. But I think when you have something that you're so passionate about, there is no alternative. You have to do it, right? Like my favorite quote that always like gets me through it is Zig Ziglar says that if you have an idea for a business or a product that's not in existence, it's your moral obligation to make it a reality.
Yeah, I do.
The moral obligation part just really is like, okay, I gotta do this. Because you're right. Like, there's nothing new under the sun per se, but your spice, your flavor, your version of it, that's uniquely yours, right? And for example, maybe something like this exists in more of a cosmopolitan, bigger city, but is it here in St. Louis? No, it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did the same thing. Like, found it on Instagram first. There's this coffee shop that has a big inspiration for me for the vibe that I'm going for. And I flew out there actually just for a day, just with my backpack on my back, just to see the shop. And I had points, so my girl math was that it was free.
Yeah, that makes it even better.
Really, totally. The hotel, everything was covered. It was awesome. But yeah, I went to New York, and not very often is the space better than you see on Instagram, because sometimes people really know how to do those shots and angles. They just even better in person. And it was like very much my vision. Not 100% there, but enough. And I was like, I can do this. I don't know how long it's going to take me. I've given myself 12 years just because I want to do it right. I had a boss who said, I want it fast and I want it right. But if I can't have it fast, then I want it right.
I've never heard that. That's pretty good. I mean, I think if you take your time and you have your vision and you're not going to do it because you don't want to be successful.
Right.
I mean, someone came in here and asked me, I want to think of exactly what she asked me, because my response, she said, were you scared that when you started your business, that it was going to fail? And I said, no, I started the business to be a success. Why would I even have in my mind that it would fail?
Yeah.
That's just that. Why would you think that? Why would I do anything unless I wanted to succeed? I'm going to work so hard, the hardest I can work to make it happen.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't align with that at all, because where energy goes, you know, momentum flows. Like, if you think you're going to fail, you will fail. You could sabotage something very beautiful with the wrong energy. I mean, this goes back to, I don't know if I said this earlier, my ADD just connecting the dots, about how as a founder, our energy is so important. And like, that's what you get paid for. You don't get paid for being the expert or for knowing the best or being the most talented. You're paid for the energy, because you're the life force of that business. And if you have bad energy, that's going to flow into everyone and everything.
Yeah. And I definitely don't believe, I know that there are some like CEOs or some that are, I mean, they're motivated, and but their growth has been to step on other people to get where they are. And I never want, that's not how I function at all. I want to see other people succeed. And I hope that I can align myself with other people that want to see that as well. I mean, yes, like you said before, like, I am a competitive person, and you have to have that competitive drive, but you don't have to have that competitive drive at the expense of other people. I don't believe that. I don't want to see people, I don't want to push other people down in order to bring myself up. That's not going to make me feel good as a person.
I think there's a difference between, I'm a competitive person myself, so I relate to you very well. But I think competition can be a positive driving force. Because if you see someone doing something and it's like spikes something in you, it inspires something, it fuels something in you that you're like, I want to be doing more. I want to be that successful. That's a positive thing. Like Kabbalah talks about this, which I thought was really interesting, where jealousy, I think we hear of a lot of times that everyone's like, oh, please don't be jealous of me. Don't give me the bad energy, right? But jealousy could be a positive thing if you're, because what it does is it's sparking something in you. And I think competitive kind of just comes from the same energy, right? Where it's like, it sparks something in you where like, I could do that. I want to do that. And then if you use that energy and you act on that in a positive way to create what you want to create, that's a beautiful thing. But if you use it as a way to like just send negative energy at someone or try to put them down or belittle them, not a good thing.
No, it's not a good thing. And it will come back to you. I mean, that negative, I do believe.
Karma.
Yeah, I do believe in karma.
And the same thing with good things, you know, like what's meant for you will be for you. And there's abundance in this world. So like acting in a way where you need to belittle someone else or put them down, or you feel like you need to grab a certain opportunity, is a scarcity mindset. Because then you're acting as if there isn't an abundance of opportunity, because there is.
Well, and it is always work, because it's not like I'm a total positive person all the time, right? That I don't have anxiety and stress, or that I look at someone else and think like, why did that happen? And like, what am I not doing to you? Totally. I mean, all those things go through your mind.
Because you're human.
Yeah, because you're human. But it is the way that you, like how you live your life. Like, what is your true intention in your heart? Like, are you really out to get other people, or are you out to like, I don't know, to make a difference in a positive way?
And I think the only thing we have control over is how we react to things.
Right.
Right? Because I think it is totally a normal human thing to look at other people. And especially when you're looking at it objectively, it seems like everyone has it easier.
Right.
You know? Because you weren't there for every time they had a challenge or every little opportunity they had to face. Right. And so sometimes you do have to kind of use that opportunity where you're like, oh, why is it so easy for them to, you know, take a look in the mirror and be like, okay, well, why is it so hard? Why is there so much resistance? What can I work on, right? Because I can't, their story, their journey, that's theirs, but maybe there is some sort of self-sabotaging behavior where there's an area that I could grow in. It's okay to have hard days too.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's totally natural. And that's why it's a good thing to get together with other people too, to network, to talk about what your struggles are, because a facade, you can have this like perfect facade, but that isn't going to help people grow if you just are always like, everything's perfect. And when you get deeper and you start learning from other people, okay, they struggled with this, or like, they're not as perfect as I thought they were. And I find like there are times when I'm projecting my insecurities and it's like, oh, I need to take a step back and I get to know the person or just learn from them.
I agree.
Yeah. Life is hard.
Life is hard. But that's why it's like I said, back to full circle in the beginning, like that is what is so powerful about the Babes in Business group. And I'm sure there's so many networking groups out there, but it's like, you know, we all have so much that we can learn from each other. And once we get over this innate competitiveness, which is totally human and totally normal, to learn to collaborate and, you know, collaboration also doesn't mean giving away necessarily all your secrets. And like, you know, you got to be smart about it too. But it's more about we can learn something from everyone. Something earlier that you said about how your life's choices that you took, sometimes have consequences and sometimes are opportunities, right? My grandfather, the way he phrased it was that everything has consequences. And he used that word to be for good or for bad, you know? Every decision you make is going to have a repercussion. It's going to be something you have to do to figure it out. But a nice thing is I really do believe that we always end up where we're supposed to be. But, for example, a good analogy is whether it's Google Maps or Waze, sometimes you miss a turn, you hit a dead end, whatever it was, you were distracted. You have to be, there's a reroute, right? You'll get where you need to get to.
Yeah. And I think words, we have to really think about the words that we use also, which, and I think about that going back, like when I was in middle school and like things that teachers said to you that like for me motivated me, and they didn't realize the words that they were using, but I did have an English teacher that I was a horrible speller when I was younger. And back then we didn't have, like, I had to look everything up in the dictionary.
Yeah.
It shows my age, but we couldn't, like, couldn't Google things, or you couldn't just ask Siri, like, how do you spell this? Like, you either had to sound it out or you had to go to your dictionary. And I remember my middle school English teacher told me, you are never going to get anywhere in life because you spell so horribly. And the funny thing is that I had like the highest A in her class too. But I think she knew, like, I need to say something to get like her to be more motivated in her way. I really do think that's what she was saying. But to me, I was like, oh my God, I'm not going to fail. I'm going to go to the best college. I'm going to show you. I'm going to be an author. I'm going to write, like, I'm going to be published. And I remember my first article, I published a law review article, and my mom worked for her husband later in life. And I remember giving her a copy and it was signed. And I was like, I'm a published author. And I said, give this to him to give to his wife. And I told him the story about when I was in middle school. But there are like little things, I feel like, because words are so powerful, that you can either bring someone down, or you can motivate them, or you can bring them up. And I don't know.
And miscommunication is another thing.
Huge.
Especially with, it's funny, more technology we have, you would think it would make us better communicators. But I think it's become more and more of a challenge.
Yeah. I mean, now it's much easier to text. It's much easier to...
The texting, my goodness.
Well, texting can be so... I mean, you don't know what the intentions are behind words so 100%. Often.
I think about this all the time. How many times have, like, conversations or relationships been affected because someone misunderstood?
Interprets the words in a way that you weren't meaning. Yeah. Yeah, I think face-to-face communication.
Ideal.
It is ideal. And I'm trying to teach that to my kids too. I know that, like, with your friends, they might get upset when they get a text or something. And it's like, what do they mean by this? And like, you're going to have to talk to them in person, because what you see is not necessarily what they were meaning. Or maybe they didn't mean to hurt your feelings. And you need to have more personal interaction. But I think it's... We do have to go with what's happening in our world too. We're not going to get rid of technology. We're not going to get rid of AI. We're going to keep growing and changing. It's how we deal with it. I don't know. I have no answers for that.
I mean, I guess everyone kind of has to navigate it themselves and figure out what works for them.
Mm-hmm.
But I am a big believer that, like, simply energy. Energy is not inherently good or bad. There's both elements to it. And it's a balance. And sometimes you have to rebalance yourself and feel like it's not off key, you know?
Yeah, I think it's constant work. I mean, as humans and people, living is work, and you always have to work on yourself. I mean, that's my goal, is to always grow as an individual. And
boy, have you really have. And I think my favorite thing about you is just how humble you are, too, because, like, you live such an extraordinary life. Gone through so many extraordinary, like, adventures, you know, and like, yes, I'm at a point now at 28 where, like, I'm shifting gears, but, like, I feel like you always had this natural curiosity and this playfulness about life that you just followed those little whispers of the universe, you know, and you really took charge of that, which I think is so inspiring.
Oh, I appreciate it.
And it's so nice. It gives you, like, such a well-rounded background too. Like, you have so many different elements to you because you listened to what called you.
Yeah, I have tried to do that in life. Just go with what is, like, filling my cup.
Yeah.
And it hasn't always been easy. And owning a business is not easy. And it's constantly stressful. And it's navigating. I mean, as a woman, it's difficult too. As a wife, as a mom, I want to be there 100% for my kids. I want to be there 100% for my husband. I want to be there 100% for my business.
Yeah.
But figuring out a good balance. And I think it changes all the time. I mean, there's going to be times when my family needs me more and I have to let go of like my control in other places. And I'm constantly learning about how to make the balance right for my life.
Right. And I think as women, that's what makes us such great leaders, because we, especially as we grow up and evolve in life, we are the CEOs of our lives.
Right.
Which makes us perfect for being CEOs of companies, right?
Yeah.
It does add an element of challenge to balance both professional and personal. But I think you're doing a great job of being an example of how to do it.
That's very nice. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much for like sharing your story with us and the journey of the store. It's been really inspiring. Is there anything else that, while we have the magic of the mic on, that you'd like to share?
I think I just would go back to the beginning about, is there something that motivates me in my life? And I think, and I said it before, but I think embracing the challenges in life is just, it's important for your growth as a person, and it's not going to be easy. Life is not always easy, but I mean, just push through.
Fun challenge. I don't think I've shared this on the podcast yet, but if I have, too bad, I have to hear it again. But it's just a fun challenge, which is if you had to come up with one word for this year. I know we've already talked about this, but if you want to share, because it's totally on brand.
Yeah.
What's your word for 2025?
Growth.
Growth.
There's always room for growth.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's, I want to grow my business. I want to grow as a person. I want to grow as a mother. I want to grow my knowledge of whatever comes around. I mean, I feel like things come into your life at different times. I really try to embrace whatever it is that comes into my life and learn more about it. And I don't know what that next thing is going to be, but it will appear and I'll grow with it.
Especially because I think to me, the beauty of life is that as we get older, we have more experiences too. So we can look back on things that at the time were like so monumental and so hard. And it's like, oh, but that's old news. Like I'm so past that growth stage. But then you know that you have that strength in you that as growth comes, as challenges and potential successful opportunities, which even though they're positive, could still be really hard, you got an ending to grow. Totally.
Yeah. I'm continuing to step out of my comfort zone. I mean, that is so hard. Change is so hard, but you have to do it.
That's where the magic is.
And I liked your word.
Surrender.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's me trying to still show up as my best, but at the same time, like having faith that certainty beyond logic, that everything's going to work out exactly as it should.
I think that's beautiful.
Thank you. So I have this tradition at the end of every show. This whole podcast is based on this Hebrew quote, which is Eza Chacham Halamei Mikol Adam, which means one who is wise is one who learns from everyone. And we've learned so much from you. And I know we've only just brushed the surface, but if you can just leave us with one last quotable quote or life lesson.
We'll go with feel the wave.
Feel the wave, yes. I love it. It's so great.
And I want to give you something too.
Oh.
On the topic of feel the wave.
Yeah.
To give you this little gift.
This is so unexpected. Literally, it's, oh my gosh. It says feel the wave. I'm gonna add a picture in like up close so people can see. This is so beautiful and it's gold.
Yes. I noticed that you were wearing gold. So I have a silver and a gold, but I'm like, you are a gold person.
I am a gold person. I'm so glad you noticed. See, that's the thoughtfulness. This is so thoughtful. Thank you so much. What can we do to support you as a community?
I would love feedback from if there's something that people in the community are looking for. If there's an event, if there's a mindfulness event, if they are searching for something that they can't find, I would love to be able to hear what they're missing and see if I can help provide that for them. And I would love for people to come to the store and check it out.
Totally.
ask as many questions as they want. I'll try to help them. And if I don't know it, I'll try to find someone that.
Yeah. Do you have an online store as well?
I do.
Okay. So what we'll do is we'll link your socials and the address of the store and the website. So everyone can no excuses. We'll have all of the access.
Yes. And it has all of my events. I have a tab on my website that has all the events that are coming.
Yeah. And if you're a business that would like to do an event with Skinology, they should reach out because this space is so beautiful and you've had all kinds of events here. So it's been really magical.
Thank you. Yeah, there's definitely room. We have yoga events and I've got tables and chairs and love to collaborate with other business owners.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. This was so
much fun.
Thank you
for having me. It's wonderful to sit down and talk with you.
Always. On and off camera.
Yes, exactly.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening or watching. And if you are always listening but would love to see the video, we're on Spotify and YouTube. And if this of course it was meaningful for you. I shouldn't even ask. This was such a powerful video. Please just share with a friend. And if you've not already subscribed, what are you doing with your life? Subscribe, please. And leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or on YouTube. You can just leave us a thumbs up. Thank you guys so much for listening or watching. I hope you have a great week. Let's get it. Let's go.